Good morning. And we're going to be continuing in our series on guidance this morning. And the title of this one is My Heart in the Right Place? Being Ready to Hear from God. And thank you, Richard, for quoting that verse. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's quite central to what we'll be looking at today. But first of all, a reading, John chapter 10. These are very well-known verses, first from 1 to 10. Jesus said this, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And then going on to verse 22. Then came the feast of dedication. That's Hanukkah at Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered round him saying, How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Well, now, what is it about hearing from God? There are objections to hearing from God. It's a kind of a scary subject in some ways. Is it about hearing voices? I mean, surely only madmen hear voices. And I don't know if you ever follow Harry Potter, but in one of the films, Harry Potter starts hearing voices. In fact, he's actually hearing the enemy. And Hermione says to him, and he thinks, well, doesn't everybody hear voices like that? And Hermione says to him, hearing voices, it's not a good thing, Harry, not even for a wizard. And I couldn't help chuckling at that. The world generally sees prophets, men who've heard from God, as madmen, maybe clothed in camel hair or something uncomfortable, raving against the world in general. So, of course, if they really are mad, we don't have to take any notice of what they say. Although in centuries past, if somebody was actually mad, they were often regarded with some reverence, as if they really were hearing from some divine source. So what about hearing from God? Should we actually do that? Well, we are made in God's image, and the members of the Godhead communicate with each other. He's a God who communicates. And Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he lived on this earth, communicated with his Father. And he said this, I don't speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. And again, he gave this answer to the Jews. Truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Now, is that a one-time thing? When Jesus was in heaven, God said to him, God the Father, right, Son, when you go to earth, you need to say this, this, and this, and make them understand that, that, and that. Not necessarily. This is a daily thing. This is something Jesus did every day. How do we know that? Because of the prophecy given in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. Actually, I love that, but Jesus knows the word to say to me to lift me up when I'm weary and I've had enough and wanting to give up. He knows the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious, I have not drawn back. Now, morning by morning, God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, would waken Jesus and teach him, this is what's going to happen today. This is what you need to say today. For Christians, it's actually normal to hear from God. The scriptures make that quite clear. John, in 1 John 4:17, said, because as he is, that is, as Jesus is, so also are we in this world. We too are meant to communicate with God and hear from him. God made us in his image so that we could be like him. He created creators, people who are created. And sometimes he wants us to use our initiative rather than being like robots and being told exactly what to do. But he calls us friends, co-workers, rather than servants. It's not about being independent from him, but it is about hearing from him and being like him in this world. So what's it all about? It's about getting to know God. As we sang earlier, all I once held dear. Knowing you, Jesus, there's no greater thing. It's about a relationship. Now, how do you get to know God? Like in any relationship, you can only get to know somebody by communicating with them, listening to them. And this communication has to be two-way. So how can we hear from God? My sheep hear my voice, as we read earlier. That's in John 10. We hear God in two ways, by his written word and by the Holy Spirit, day by day. We're going to take those in reverse order, by the Holy Spirit. Why this and not the written word of God? We have to have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us to hear from God. And I'm going to read some verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In fact, we could read the whole chapter, but it would take too long. Paul says this, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no mind, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from God, from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man makes judgment about all things. He himself is not subject to any man's judgment, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to read the whole chapter. So the Spirit speaks to us, instructs us, teaches us. What does he do for us in that? I mean, what happens? How does he speak to us? Well, first of all, there's an inner witness in our hearts. When we have the Spirit of God, there is an inner witness teaching us and speaking to us in our hearts. We do hear from God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 16. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And again in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This is what happens to us when we are born again by the Spirit of God. Turn now to John chapter 3, well-known verses again. Jesus answered him, that's Nicodemus who came to him by night because he wanted to know what it was all about. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, Jesus is saying there's something flowing through us that is beyond this world. It's of the Holy Spirit. And poor old Nicodemus didn't understand it. And the world these days doesn't understand it either. They misuse the word being born again. We used to joke about people like born again IBM salesman, for example, from my father who used to work for IBM. Somebody who's extremely enthusiastic about something, turned on by something, really lights his candle. But it misses the spiritual dimension. Jesus said, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus said, what on earth are you talking about? How is that possible? How can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Completely misunderstanding. And Jesus says, truly, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, he's talking about being something new created in your heart by the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And as Paul says, you can't understand the things of the Spirit unless you are born in your heart, reborn of the Holy Spirit. That something happens when you get born again. It's not just a change of mind. It's not just a new understanding of something. Oh, I see. No, something actually happens. You change inside. Paul says, if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Something new has happened. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And that is a reality in the Spirit. So unless you've actually received that, being born again by the Holy Spirit, you won't have any spiritual discernment in you. A little more of that in a minute. But the Holy Spirit also teaches us as we go on. Jesus said this, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. And certainly the early church, when you read the book of Acts, they were guided by the Spirit. Many interesting things happened. They preached the gospel, and it says the Lord was working with them. Now, how can that be? Because Jesus had gone back to heaven at that time. And there's an interesting verse in Peter's speech on the day of Pentecost. Heaven must receive him until the time of the restoration. Jesus went back to heaven and he left his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. In fact, it was the Father who poured out the Holy Spirit on the church so that the people, the Christians, would have his Spirit within them. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send another counselor. And that was the Holy Spirit. Now, God does also speak to the unconverted. where are we now? Yeah. Jesus said this, John 16, verse 7. I tell you the truth, it is for your good I am going away. Unless I go, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. And Saul on the road to Damascus, he wasn't converted, but he heard God speak to him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And oh boy, did God speak to him. It knocked him off his horse, and he was blinded for 3 days. But he turned, he listened, and he could have said, well, I don't believe in you, God, go away. but he didn't do that. He said, who are you, Lord? Acknowledge this is God speaking to him. The Holy Spirit will teach you the things that Jesus said. And often when he was speaking to his disciples, the disciples did not understand him. But later, they did understand when the Holy Spirit was actually teaching them in their hearts. The Spirit will bring things into your mind. John chapter 14, verse 26. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, why are we looking at the Holy Spirit so much? It's because there are people who think they hear from God, but they don't have the Spirit of God inside them. What comes is out of their own mind or imagination, or even from a darker source. And that's why the Apostle Paul says to us, test everything. And we have to test what we hear from God. Now, then we come on to the written word of God. That's another way God speaks to us, through the Bible. And quite often when people say, God has spoken to me or shown something to me, usually they mean they've had a series of gentle prompts, such as scripture verses or song lyrics or what people have said, which has resonated with them. God speaks to them, but there are other things too. Scripture verses that the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind, often just when you need it. Song lyrics. I often find God speaks to me through a song, and the Spirit inside me thinks, yeah, that's what God is saying. Probably because I know more songs than I do scripture verses, but there we are, that's another matter. Or people have said things that resonate to us. We need each other, actually, in a Christian church, because people will put us right on things sometimes. Or say something. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, you might say something without even being aware it's really had an impact on somebody's life. But that's often what happens. It keeps us from going astray. Now, what stops us from hearing God? C.S. Lewis said this, incidentally, I can tell you how not to hear from God. Don't shut out the noise. Keep the radio on all the time, reading a book or watching a play or something. You can become spiritually deaf. And that's been a big problem for the human race over the years. Here's Ezekiel chapter 12 and verses 1 to 2. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house. They have eyes to see, but do not see. They have ears to hear, but they do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. And in Matthew's Gospel, we read this. This is a quotation too. This people's heart has grown callous. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their ears, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. Now, that's a very sad thing to say, that the people can't hear because they've turned away from God and they've become deaf. Here in John chapter 12, we read this. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so that they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. And that's also a problem in the church today. It was in Paul's time. Hebrews chapter 5. Jesus, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, because you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the word of God. You need milk, not solid food. Everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And there Paul is saying, you're dull of hearing. Don't mean I don't know where you stand with God, but I'm sure you're listening to God. But these people that he's writing to in Hebrews, and it was an epistle to the Hebrews, the Jews of that day, they become dull of hearing. And he's talking to people who they've been born again, but they've not grown, they've not matured. They're dull of hearing. He says it's hard to explain these things, the spiritual things that he's trying to teach them. They become dull of hearing. So how does that happen, and how not to be like that? Is my heart in the right place, being ready to hear from God? You know the parable of the sower and the seed. And the seed is the word of God, and the ground is the kind of heart that listens to it, the kind of ground it falls on. Some of the seed fell on stony ground, some fell on shallow soil, some fell among weeds, some fell among good soil. And the Bible exhorts us in various places to prepare the ground. You can prepare your heart to hear from God. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, break up your fallow ground so that it's not hard and stony. And that's something God calls us to do. You know, if we're dull of hearing, what do? We break up our fallow ground. How do we do that? By repentance, if there's things in our hearts we know that have made us hard and distant from God. By turning to the Word of God. Letting the Word of God through the Holy, well, letting the Spirit teach us through the Word of God. And then we get the idea of standing in the courts of God, waiting on Him. Somebody said this morning about waiting on the Lord. What does that mean exactly? And the idea of that comes from Psalm 24. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? And in various places, we get the idea of people waiting on God like they would wait on a king in the courtroom of a king. So you've got a king in his courtroom, all his courtiers standing around, and they're just waiting. And the king will say, oh, you, come in, do this. Yeah. Or he'll say something and give a command. Somebody else, go and do that. And they will be waiting around until God gives them an instruction, or the king, rather, gives them an instruction to go and do something. And Psalm 24, that's the picture that it gives. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And it says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. If you haven't got clean hands or a pure heart, you're not going to be comfortable or even allowed into God's presence. Now, how can we possibly match up to that standard? That standard, clean hands and a pure heart. And the answer is by grace. We can't do it ourselves. We can't match up to that. There's a lovely verse in, why have I written Hebrews chapter 10? It's about being bold to come into the presence of God with our hearts cleansed from an evil conscience. If you're familiar with the hymn, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, there's a lovely line in that. His blood can make the foulest clean. There is power in the blood of Jesus, the covenant that he has with us. It's through his own blood, and all our sins are forgiven for all time when Jesus died on the cross. It took me years to understand that all my sins were forgiven. Jesus called me, I was born again, and there were still sins I was going to commit in the future, but all of them from start to finish are forgiven in the cross. And because of that, we can come with boldness into the presence of God, like those people in Psalm 24, and we can stand in his holy place, and we can listen to the word of the king telling us what to do. So who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in that holy place? You will, we will, I will, by the grace of God. Now, we need to learn to hear from God. To hear God's voice, we need to listen, to seek, and get to know his voice. Like Samuel, we won't recognize it when we hear it. You know that story, don't you, Samuel? Samuel, said God to this little child, and he ran up to Eli, the priest, and said, you called me. No, I didn't. Eventually, Eli realizes this is God calling him. But Samuel didn't know that. He told him to go back and listen again, see what he said. We need to get to know his voice. My sheep know my voice, Jesus said, but it takes practice, spending time with him. And, you know, there are spiritual practices and disciplines, such as prayer and Bible study. If you do that, you will get closer to God if you're seeking him. Jesus said, my sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You've got to listen, which means spending time, shutting out the noise and saying, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And it's about knowing him. My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they know me and they follow me. The bottom line is to get to know God. In other words, be his disciple, and then the path will become clear as we spend time with God. I don't know if you remember Julian and Bernice when they left here years ago. They were. I've never forgotten it. Julian left a verse with us. He said, I believe this is what God wants for you as a church. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. And I think it comes from Colossians. And it's all about, the aim is to know him, to have a relationship with him, to develop that relationship so that both, A, you enjoy God and he enjoys you knowing him, but also so that we're useful to him. Paul said to Timothy about vessels in a house. Some are vessels for crude use, you know, like the gazunder, say no more about that, but some are vessels for noble use, drinking out of. They're clean, that can be useful in that way, and God can use us. Let us know him, let us press on to know the Lord. Here's some verses from Hosea chapter 6. Come, Let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. That's a tremendous encouragement, I find. If we've failed or fallen, God provides the way back. We might look at our lives and think, oh dear, you know, where have I been going? What have I been doing? But God provides the way back. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit as well. And Peter read out Psalm 103 this morning, I think it was. Psalm 130. Yeah. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the coming of the morning. There's a way back, and God will come to us. It's all about knowing him. Paul says, where are we now? That I might know him. Philippians chapter 3. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. We sang that this morning. All I once held dear, I have counted loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, having a righteousness of my own, or not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Part of hearing from God is guidance, which is what we've been looking at, of course. And God will communicate with us. And, you know, if we need a new direction in life, or we need to know what to do in a particular situation, we can pray to God. And we might not hear. Sometimes we just know what to do because of the general principles of being a Christian that God has given to us. And sometimes God will give us a specific word of direction. And there's also a promise that if we want to do God's will, we will know what it is. John chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether this teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority." And Romans 12, verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Now, you might be saying, well, that's all very well, but I don't really hear from God, you know. I try to live the Christian life and read the Word of God, but, I'm not sure that I've ever really heard from God. Well, those who seek will find. This was John Wesley's problem before he started preaching around the country. He was preaching, but he'd seen people, the Moravians particularly, a group of Christian people, who clearly knew what God was telling them. They had a relationship with God. And he couldn't penetrate this particular mystery. And he spoke to one of his friends and said, "Yeah, I preach what I know from the Word of God, but I don't feel it in my heart. I don't feel I have any connection with God." And this wise old preacher said to him, "Preach faith as you are doing. Preach it until you have it." He said. And then one day in a church service, in the morning service, he said this, "My heart was strangely moved. Strangely warmed." That was it. God had come to him. He'd been born again. And that was the only way he could find to express it. "My heart was strangely warmed, and I believed that Jesus had died for my sins and that I had eternal life." He knew it. He believed it. It was there in his heart by the Spirit of God. There's another example. Lydia in Acts chapter 16. One of those listening to Paul. A woman named Lydia, a deal in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. She was a worshipper of God, and it says the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. She really wanted to do that, you know, to respond to the message, and the Holy Spirit opened her heart to do that. Until the Holy Spirit opens your heart, you're not going to respond. But if you've been seeking God, if you really want to know the hope that God promises, you will. Now, if you want to know, I mean, we've just scratched the surface today about hearing from God. There's so much. I mean, there's sermons upon sermons upon sermons, and I've probably gone on long enough, as Howard will remind me afterwards. But there's so much more to this. We can only scratch the surface. There are dangers, and we need to chart a safe path. There are resources that you can use for this. I remember when I was with Youth with a Mission, not for long actually, I was only with them for a month. It was a summer of service, more than 50 years ago now, my goodness. But we were given some intercession notes, particularly for group intercession, but I found them very useful for personal, private intercession, about how to get your heart right before God. Confess all your sins, first of all. Make sure that you really want God to be Lord of your heart. And because there are other voices that can pollute what God is trying to say, other noises that can mislead you. And you need to know, if you're praying and interceding, what you're hearing is definitely from God. And we've got similar notes that Margot has provided with us occasionally. It's getting your heart right before the Lord, knowing that you're hearing from Him alone, knowing that all your sins are washed away, and that the enemy has nothing in you. And there's a book by a lady called Joy Dawson. In fact, she wrote the intercession notes as well. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she's probably long dead by now. She wrote a book called Intimate Friendship with God, which I think you can still get from Amazon. If anybody wants a copy of the intercession notes, by the way, ask me afterwards and I'll email them to you. But there we are. There are further resources you can look up. If you really want to get alone and quiet with God, really want to hear from Him, if you're born again by the Spirit of God, you can. And God invites you to draw near. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Amen. And so we shall be led safely, listening to the Lord, being guided by Him, not going down wrong paths or making mistakes. That's another reason we need each other, of course. Sometimes it's good to share things that God has shown you with a fellow believer, saying, what do you think of this? And they'll pray, and if they have the Spirit in their hearts, they'll be able to witness that it's yes or no. Okay, that's it from me. We're going to sing now. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? This song was inspired, apparently, by the Hebridean revival prayer by one of the elders of the church, who was looking at Psalm 24, and he said, Lord, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? And at that moment, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit came, and the revival started. So this hymn is based on that event. Well, it was inspired by that event. So let's sing, Who Shall Ascend the Hill of the Lord? Amen.